And welcome to the episode of the Let's Do It Afraid podcast. Happy Tuesday today.
Happy Tuesday. Not used to recording on Tuesdays as much, but we're back on it.
It feels like a Monday. We were off yesterday because our kids had a holiday and they weren't in school. And all day today, I've had to remind myself that it's Tuesday because I keep thinking it's a Monday.
I feel you. I know I kept one of my kids home today because his cough is not great. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, I'm so over the sickness and coldness. Like, can it be hot? But then I'm like, sometimes they get hot. They get cold. Sometimes they get sick when it's hot. And I'm like, that is worse.
No, that's the weather is just like really weird. I feel like it can't make up its mind. It's hot one minute, cold the next. I've seen these memes where it's like in California you have to like have all these layers on, right? Because in the morning it feels like winter and then it feels like fall and then it feels like summer and then yeah, it's so true.
Yep, that's so true. My kid actually just went hiking in the Armstrong Woods, and I was like, it's gonna be freezing in there. But he's like, dress me in layers, dress me in layers. I'm like, okay, I will. So I could put on two sweaters, two shirts. I was like, he's gonna be dying because he sweats all the time. But
Oh, Armstrong Woods, that's such a fun place. I love that field trip when they get to go to the Armstrong Woods.
yeah, I know. I was like worried because I was like, oh my God, I signed up to be a volunteer. But then he told me the other day, oh, you didn't get selected. I was like, it's okay. And usually he's like, if you don't go, I'm not going. And this time he's like, oh no, my teacher already talked to me. She said that it's gonna be fine. And I was like, oh, what is my shift? Like, he was just not complaining this time. So I was like, oh, interesting. But I literally just went to a field trip last week, and then my little has a field trip on Thursday, and I was like, I don't know if I'm going, but a ver qué.
I don't go to a lot of the field trips, especially because a lot of them are like driving ones where the parents have to drive, and they make you have like a special insurance. Like you have to like go through all these hoops. So if it's like a driving one, I don't normally go to one. But if it's like a bus one that I could just hop on the bus, I do. Or if it's like a walk, I love when they do walking field trips, and then we can just walk with them. But going on field trips or even just like hearing about my children's field trips makes me feel so nostalgic for like my own childhood. I don't know if that happens to you, but it just helps me like remember what it was like when
I
I
was
was.
just thinking about that. I was like, I remember, like, I feel like my thing, I was like, I have to go to all these field trips as much as I can because my parents were never able to go. So then, like, now they're so used to me going that I was just like, damn, this kid, like, hit that roadblock where it's like, if I don't go, he doesn't go or he doesn't want to go. And so this time, like, he said he wanted to go. I was like, oh, okay. But my oldest, I think he went a couple years without me going because I was so busy with work. But now he's used to me going, and my littlest knows no other. So she has a field trip on Thursday, and I don't know if I'm going or not. I don't know if I got selected because right now they're doing like lottery systems. And do you guys have to drive to all the field trips? You guys don't get transportation?
We have to drive to a lot of field trips. Yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just like funding or, because
Yeah.
yeah, it's sad, but we don't there really is not a lot of transportation. I feel like we're having to drive, or the parents are having to drive to most of the field trips.
I think it has to do with the budget because I was just complaining. I was just complaining because our school only goes to, like, right now, like, the last field trips we've gone to is like the regional parks or like the ocean. We just went with my fifth grader to the ocean, and all they did was like go through the little paths and like the rocks and look at the sea creatures and things like that, which was pretty cool. But I was like, for 3 hours? Like, we literally could do that in 45 minutes and be done. And then the kids were like, is it time to eat yet? So then we ate, but I was like, their lunchtime is usually an hour later. So I think we just got done so quick that they were just like, what's next? And so I talked to the teacher and I was like, do we not go on like San Francisco field trips? Because my best friend's kids go to Healdsburg and they go to all these cool field trips. Like, what's going on? And then she's like, oh yeah, we don't have the funding for it and we have to go through all these hoops to just get this done. And so what happened is that our district has agreement with, I think it's Sonoma Land Paths, which is a cool organization here in Sonoma County that has like free camping. Like, doesn't have to do with the district at all. But they have a special agreement with the districts where the field trips are for free, so they'll cover the transportation. So I think Santa Rosa City Schools doesn't have that, unless
Do
they only
not.
have it with certain schools. But yeah, so that's why I was trying to be like, can we go to San Francisco and I'll be fine to drive? And then they're like, no, they're like, we have to go through all these loopholes and get it approved, and transportation is a huge cost. So I was like, it just ties back to like, how can we be more present for our kids? But also, like, I'm filling that void that I didn't have as a kid. So yeah, it's just,
Yeah.
I try to be as involved as I can be.
Yeah, no, my kids, my son went to San Francisco a few times, and they've gone to like things at Sonoma State a few times as well. But the school where my son goes, they do like a really big not field trip, sorry. They do like a really big fundraiser every year, which I think helps cover the cost of a lot of the field trips. And then they do this thing at the beginning of the school year where they kind of, it's not like mandatory, but they ask each parent to donate like $100 for each child that they at that school. I always make the donation. But of course, like if people can't afford it, it's not enforced. It's just like something that they ask for. And I think that covers a lot of the cost as well. But maybe because the transportation is so much, that's why they ask for parent volunteers. But I will not drive to the city by myself. Like I am terribly, like very, very
Really?
afraid. Yeah. And so I cannot do that. It's like my son knows. I'm like, I can't do that. But thankfully, other parents have stepped up, so they've been able to do these fun things.
Awesome. Well, does he like want to go without you, or he's used to it? He's fine.
Oh, he's totally fine. And I kind of
Okay.
like that. I like that my son and my daughter too. I feel like they're the same way. They're like really, I don't know, ever since they started school, there was never this like, I don't know, like they were totally, I don't want to say detached because I don't think that's the right word, but they were just like, bye, mom. You know, like they both handled going to school and being separated from me in such a beautiful way that even though sometimes it made me a little sad because I was like, do they not love me? But at the same time, it's so good for them because I do want them to be, you know, independent and they know that I'm working or doing other things. And it's not like I just don't want to go. It's sometimes I just can't go. So, in the end, I think kids are really resilient and they understand. And for the longest time, like you think, like, oh my God, I'm going to traumatize my kids, right? But it's like my son's not going to remember. Like, I don't think his biggest memory is going to be like, my mom didn't go to that one field trip to the Exploratorium in San Francisco with me. Like, you know, like I just don't see him remembering his childhood that way. We do so many things together. So hopefully I'm not traumatizing him by not going to some field trips.
I don't know. I think it's for me, it's like because I've been so involved again. I don't know if that's what it is, but also my littlest, when she went to preschool before TK, I thought she was going to cry and she didn't cry. And I was like, dude, she's like, I sat there and cried for like 2 days when I came home. And I was like, what the heck? Like, she was my COVID baby. So I was with her everywhere. And I think I had like separation anxiety. I don't know. But yeah, I went through a whole rut and she was so happy. But then when she went to TK, her first day she was fine, like nothing. The second day she bawled. And I was like, I did not expect it, but yeah, it was like interesting how strong they are and how like they take in all the information. But
Yeah,
yeah.
they're so resilient. Oh, so I wanted to ask you, so we finally went to our first, well, it was my first. I don't know if it was your first. I don't think it was your first. The Shaky Can Club event that Hillary from one of our first episodes told us about. We love Hillary. And she has the She Can Club. So if you are local to Sonoma County, I really, really recommend that you go check out the Instagram page. And they always post when they have events. And this one was like, it's called a walk and talk. It was free. There was no fee to participate. Some of the things that she does have a fee, but some don't. It's not like a lot. Usually it's like, I think, you know, like $30, $35 or something that she charges for per event, but this one was free and it was so much fun. What are your thoughts? Did you have a good time?
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, it's always like I was interesting that you asked me though, because like I did get somebody asking me like, what are the benefits that you see with going to all these events? Because they always see me posting stuff, and I was like, well, honestly, like I love creating that connection and talking to people, because a lot of the times when I work virtually, I don't get that personal interaction unless it's with a client, and then the clients are super busy, so they can't sit here and like entertain, and I also don't want to like take their time away, so it gets hard. And so the social aspect, I don't really get much, and when I go to these events, I feel that void, I feel like. And so I love connecting with other people and like knowing that we're not alone. And the thing is that like some people even work at other places and still feel alone. Like it's just weird how much we can feel so alone but be so surrounded with people, right? Like we just feel like we don't connect with other people, or we don't feel like we're heard.
Yeah, I have this like weird thing where I could be in somewhere like huge, like Disney, and I feel sometimes more alone or like in my head than if I'm just like in this small group setting. I feel like I'm around more people. It's, I don't know, it's weird. But I don't know, like I like to be around people. I'm not saying that I'm not social or anything like that, but sometimes it is really hard for me to kind of like mentally prepare myself to be around other people, and I'm like, I don't want to do this. Like I am such a home body. I'm not, but I am. It's weird. I'm so weird. I'm probably not even making sense right now. But like I feel like I love to go out and I love to do things, but I love to go out and do things with my little family. Like I don't want to go in a big group. I don't want to go camping with a bunch of like people or like go on trips. Like people do like family trips with like all of their family. I can't do that. I feel like I get overstimulated maybe, or just I'm such a people pleaser, so I feel like I have to like please all these different people. Whereas if it's just me and my little family, I can kind of just relax and I don't have to worry about it so much. I'm not so stressed out. So yeah, so it's really hard for me to be around other people. But then I go, so like I go to this event and I'm like, this was so much fun. Like, why don't I do this more often? I loved this.
Yeah, I feel you. We're a mix of emotions sometimes. It's like we love this, but we don't love this. But then if it's in the different moment, like we don't love it. It's just weird for me. I feel you in so many different like vibes. I get so much into my head. So sometimes I'll be like, this is my normal routine. Like, what the heck is going on that I'm just not feeling it today? But sometimes I'm just not in the mood. So
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a combination of things. But these kind of walks, it's like I'm doing the exercise and I don't realize that I'm doing the exercise, which is why I love going, because it's like I got the walk done and I got social aspect, like, I got social benefits from it. So that's what I love about it. And then also, like, they were asking me, like, what's the benefits of doing all these things? Like, I feel like I waste my time. I'm like, well, it just depends on how you're going. A lot of the times, it's also our mindset. Like, what are we going to these events with our mind? Like, what's in our mind that we're going to these events? For me, fostering connections and talking to people outside of like social media goes a long way. And it's like we get to know each other on a different level and not just in the group chat or, And sometimes I understand some people get like social anxiety, like I do sometimes, but I still pull through. I know some people have more difficulty with it, but it's just part of like, how much do we let that barrier stand in the way, I guess?
Yeah. No, but I did have a lot of fun, and I definitely recommend that people go. While we were there, I was talking to another friend about homeschooling, and I go back and forth with this idea, like, do I want to homeschool my son? Do I not want to homeschool my son? One area of it, and I would love people's opinion, honestly, if you have children here in Sonoma County that go to school, like I would love to hear your opinions and thoughts on this issue of if you would consider homeschooling your children or not. Yvette and I have talked about this a lot. For her, she has three kids, they're really young. One of her children requires a lot of, extra help and assistance. For me, my daughter's almost out of high school, so it would really just be my son that I would homeschool, just one child. But I feel like, on one aspect, the schools here, the standards are just not up to par. There is, especially in the older schools, there's just like a lot of violence and things like that that I really worry about for my son. But then at the same time, it's like, well, when he goes to school, that's when I get most of my work done. I can, kind of have some time for myself. Like, what would happen if I didn't have, and, like if I couldn't just, like, I love going and getting my nails done. Like, I probably wouldn't be able to do that, or I love, going and getting a massage here and there, or a facial here and there. I probably wouldn't be able to do that either. So it's just things that I have to take into consideration. And also, he's a very social kid and he loves to be around other children. So I'd have to be really, really proactive about him getting his social needs met in other areas, like taking him to different people that homeschool and us going to the park or going skating or something like that. We'd have to find other activities for him to get his social needs met. But at the same time, it's like I do love being with my child all the time. So I don't know. I can't decide. I really can't.
I don't know. I honestly, I don't think I can. Like, just because my kids are also so super social. And on top of that, you already mentioned my kid has special needs. So, I just feel like his learning style isn't how I know how to teach or like how I learned. And then he also teaches me his way of learning sometimes. And I'm like, I didn't think of it in that aspect. And so those are things that I'm like, why don't we teach like, a lot of the times we try to force our kids to learn our ways, but it's like, why don't we learn from them too? Because especially when they have special needs or other different like ways of expressing themselves, like why do we always want to force them into our system when we should be adapting ourselves to everybody's system, right? So that we all belong. But that's a whole topic for another day.
Yeah, for sure. And I do believe that not every child learns the same, and that's also something that I get frustrated with our school system, is I feel like they want to force all kids to be taught the same way, as if we all learn the same way, which is not true at all. And some kids have learning disabilities, some kids have different issues that they're dealing with, and some people are visual learners, some people are hands-on learners. So it's like, why are we teaching everyone the same? It just doesn't make sense. So yeah, that's a topic for another day. We could go down a whole rabbit hole for that one, right? So today we kind of wanted to talk a little bit, kind of touch base on, cultural norms and, things that maybe we're doing differently to break the cycle of these cultural norms. And also how we can try to overcome our fear of judgment as Latina moms. I'm sure a lot of moms can relate to this, but we're coming from like our view of, as we both are Latina. So obviously we could relate to moms of different other races and cultures, but some of the things that we grew up with, maybe they didn't. I think that one of the big things for myself that I didn't see enough of in my home from my mom was she never prioritized herself. My mom worked a lot. She was a single mom, so it was always just like work, work, work. I never saw my mom rest. I don't remember a time of her just sitting on the couch. I think even today, and I'll be like, "Mom, like, do you ever just like sit down and watch TV or like read a book?" And she's like, "No, I can't. I can't." And that's just how life was for her. And so I think it is this like struggle, and that's something that I'm trying to do differently with my children, is like I'm trying to teach them that if they need to rest, it's okay to rest. And I do try to sit down, even if it's just to, like, read a book. I don't really watch TV that much, but as long as I'm able to like sit down and read a book and they can see that I'm doing that, or little things like getting my nails done, getting my hair done, like they could see that I'm also taking care of myself, because I didn't see that growing up.
I don't know. Like, sometimes I question myself, like, do we all have ADHD? Like, because I feel like when I sit down, like, I'm sitting there thinking, like, I should be cleaning my house. I should be doing this. I should be doing that. And, like, it's also like the cultural expectations, I guess. But, like, you're saying, like, you never see your mom sit down. Right now that my mom, like, has a little bit more time, I feel like she gets home and she's super tired. She does give herself that space to unwind, and the kids see it, and we all see it. But a lot of the times, like back in the days, there was no way. Like, she worked double, triple shifts. Like, she was making things happen. And like, my dad was the same way. And I never got to see them just chill, you know? And I'm like, at what age? Like, this is why I feel like my grandpa has so much like problems with trying to, like, because he's getting old, right? So his limitations of like range of motion, or like not being able to lift the car and like do work on the car, is like killing him, I feel like. It's like slowly, like, it's just something that he fights with all the time. And like, he's always trying to be productive, and he's always trying to do something. And I'm like, Grandpa, it's freezing outside. Like, what are you doing outside? And he's like, well, hija, tengo que limpiar aquí, tengo que hacer acá. And I'm like, you need to chill. But then I'm like, they get so bored because like they're not mentally prepared to just chill, I guess you can say. And so I always tell my kids, like, we need a mental health day. Like, if you feel overwhelmed, like, just let me know. Like, we could just chill all day, you know? And so sometimes, like, there'll be like random days that I'll be like, okay, it's fine to stay home. And I'll tell the school, like, they're not feeling well. And it is what it is. Like, we all get to that point, and we don't want to be burnt out. And these are kids. So I'm like trying to remind them to like take time to unwind.
Yeah, I think it's just like, I don't know if it's a cult, like a really deep, deep rooted cultural thing, but I do see that a lot in the Hispanic community. If you do take time, like sit on the couch, they think you're lazy. Like my mom would always be like, "No sean huevones," or like even now, like for, if she, I don't know, if my mom makes dinner for us, right? Like she invites us over for dinner. And if we are just sitting down, like having a conversation, and she's, she can't just sit down. So she's like washing the dishes, and she's, I don't know, cooking something, and she's picking up stuff off the table, off the floor. And because she can't just chill, like she can't just like turn it off and just like chill, she'll be like, "Ay, qué huevones son." Like, you guys are so lazy. And I'm like, no, like, I don't need to be doing everything all of the time. The chores are still going to be there at the end of the day. And I've kind of had to reprogram that part of my brain because I'll catch myself sometimes if my daughter is just like sitting on the couch for like long periods of time or my son. And I feel like I hear that voice in my head, right? And I want to say something, but then I'm like, no, I'm not going to say anything. Like, there really isn't anything that needs to be done right now. So if they just want to sit down and watch TV and relax, I'm going to let them do that. I'm not going to be that voice in their head that's telling them that they're lazy.
You remind me, like, before I got married and I was living with my parents, and my husband would call me, like, we were dating, and he'd be like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm doing this and this and this." He's like, "Do you ever chill?" And I'm like, "No." And then he's like, "Oh," he's like, you just got out of school. You did, like, this huge exam. Like, just chill." And I'm like, "No, there's no need to chill. Like, I need to clean and I need to do this." And he'd be like, "Damn, dude." Like, he's like, "When we have our spot, like, you need to chill. Like, if the floor's a mess, like, you clean it the next day, like, you know." And then it's funny because then he cut, like, then he came and then we were living together. And then he'd be like, there'd be times where he's super tired and he's chilling. And I'm like, "Dude, get up and do something." Or there's times where I'm chilling and he's like, "Ira, ahí la ropa," or like, "We have to do this, we have to do that." I'm like, "Dude, that can wait. Like, just chill." And then there's times where we're just like so over it that we have to get things done, or just like the social pressure of like, what if somebody comes over? And like, dude, we have kids. Like, there's no way in heck that I'm gonna clean up 3 times in one day and have it done, like, ruined in 2 seconds again. And then people come over and it's the same. Like, it looks like I just didn't clean. And I'm like, I'm just. And then my mom comes sometimes. Oh, todavía no lavaste la ropa y todavía. I'm like, "Mom, do you understand how much we have? 5 people living in this house. It's not 2 people, like you and my dad. Like, my kids change like 3 times a day." And I'm like, there's never ending chore. And like, by the end of the day, if we just all wash, we take our clothes off, that's a whole basket of clothes. Like, I'm just like, when does this end?
But that's what I mean. I feel like it goes back to this idea, like Hispanic moms and girls. I'm sure it happens to boys too, but I'm not a boy, so I can't really speak for all boys and how their experiences have been. But I do know that for like girls in the Hispanic culture, especially, we're taught to be selfless and we're always taught to prioritize everyone else before ourselves. You know, like I remember growing up, my mom would serve all of the boys and then it would be me. Or her, she would be at the end, right? And like even my mother-in-law, like if we go to her house, it's like everyone else gets served and she's the last person. And that does happen in my home. Like I am always the last person to sit down and eat. So it does, like I feel like I am kind of perpetuating that. But the one thing that I will say is I don't always serve like my son before my daughter. Like it's just like, you know, whoever makes it to the table first, that's who I'm gonna serve first. You know, like if my son sits down first, I serve him. If my daughter sits down first, I serve her. If my husband sits down first, I serve him. So it's like whoever sits down first gets served first. And like I wanna just really teach them that like it's okay to prioritize yourself and it's okay to do things for yourself. And like I said, I don't want to be that nagging voice in their head that tells them that they can't rest if they need to rest.
I agree. And then I'm like, by what time is it too much to rest? Like, where's the boundary?
I don't know. I feel like if you rest every single day of your life 24 hours, that's a problem. But I think it's okay to have like a lazy day where you just want to rest for a day. That's fine. Like the chores aren't going to go anywhere. They're still going to be there tomorrow when you wake up. Like it's not a big deal. But of course, at some point, you do have to get up and you do have to do something. The other thing that I want to break that I think is like really normal in our culture is like the constant nagging and criticizing of people. You know, like I never felt safe or comfortable sharing things with my mom. You know, like sometimes I felt like she was like my biggest hater, you know, because it was like if I wore something, it's like, why are you wearing that? If I did my hair this way, why are you wearing your hair like that? Why are you getting up late? Why are you going to bed late? Why do you listen to music when you do your homework? Like everything was critiqued in my household. And I try to be very, even like my husband will come home and he'll say things like, my daughter, like, oh, you're on your phone too much or something, right? And he'll get annoyed at me because he'll be like, you know, why don't you say anything to her? And I'm like, dude, like, you don't understand. Like, when you're constantly nagging somebody, you're not really getting your point across. All you're telling them is that you don't understand them, that you don't see them. And so I don't want to do that with my kids. I want them to always feel seen and heard and understood. Yeah, if she's on her phone and she's not doing her homework, then I will say, like, hey, do your homework and then get on your phone. But if the chores are done, if her homework is done, if her grades are good, if she's done all she needs to do, then why can't she just sit there and be on her phone? You know, like I read for hours and hours and hours. That was my escape. That was my outlet. Maybe her outlet is looking at videos on Instagram, you know, funny cat videos. Maybe that's how she relaxes at the end of the day, you know? So I'm so tired of like the constant nagging of critiquing. I feel like it did a lot of damage to my self-esteem. And like I said, I never felt like my mom was a safe place that I could really come to. And so I don't want that for my kids.
It's weird that you say that because, like, I'm thinking about it. And I'm like, dude, my dad was never like that. But the way that they do it to other people, I'm like, that's not nice. Like, I always catch him on it too. And I'm like, dude, that's not nice.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, no es nada malo. I'm like, dude, they said that to you, you would be pissed. Like, sí es malo because if you're on the other end, you're not gonna like it. But, like, they were the nicest people to me. Like, it's just like sometimes when they would say, like, you know, people like, se le sale, like, oh my God, qué gorda está esa persona. I'm like, what? What did you just say? Is that why I can't lose weight? Because like you're over here telling people, and I'm over here suffering. Like you better stop. And then he's like, "Oh my God." And I'm like, "Yeah." I'm like, "You don't put it into perspective. Like you're talking it to somebody else, but I could take it and internalize it myself, you know?" And he's like, "No." He's like, "I don't say it to you." I'm like, "I know that, and I don't really like internalize it, but I'm like, I could have, you know."
Yeah. No, you know, it's funny you just said that. That reminds me, one time my daughter kind of told me that, you know, sometimes, you know, like body image wise, that she struggled because of things that she would hear her dad say about other people. Like it was not necessarily that he ever called her fat because she's never been fat a day in her life. But like if he made a comment about somebody else being fat or like, look how fat they are, she internalized that and was like, oh, being fat is bad, right? And so when
Yeah.
she said that to me, I'm like, oh my gosh, like you're absolutely right. So we really do have to be careful about the way that we critique other people, even if we're not criticizing our children. You know, like I try to be very careful about this, especially with my daughter, because I don't want her to like feel like it's okay to hate on other women, because I feel like as women, we do that a lot. We really critique them and kind of not just mom shame them, but just like shame them in general. And so I never want her to feel like it's okay for somebody else to do that to her or for her to do that to somebody else. But even like little things, like I remember my mom, like one time somebody cheated on me and literally her response was, oh, es porque nunca te arreglas. And I,
Oh my
yes,
God,
like,
I would be
yeah,
so pissed. Like my mom was never like that with me, and like I thought she was the toughest person, but like sometimes she'd be super extra hard on me, but like never like that. Like yeah, I would be pissed.
And she was like, oh, es porque, you know, ellas están like bonitas y se arreglan y tú nunca te arreglas. And I just like, that like
That's
broke
so
me.
nice.
Yeah, it broke me. And so, like, you know, for the longest time, I felt like that was my fault. And I've come to realize, like, boys don't cheat with somebody that's prettier than you most of the time. You know,
No.
it's not, it has nothing to do with like the most beautiful women in the world get cheated on all the time. It has nothing to do with them. It's about, you know, the guy. The person that cheated is the one with the issue, in my opinion, not the other person. Because if you're not happy in a relationship, you should be grown enough to say, I'm not happy here and move on. You know, there's really no need to cheat. But yeah, so just like little things like that. Like, I don't do that. I do not. I'm very careful about the things that I say around my kids. You know, my son and my daughter are raised with the same rules. I have the same expectations for both. There is no gender roles here. You know, my daughter has to do chores, my son has to do chores. You know, my son has to get up and make his bed. My daughter has to get up and make her bed. You know, like, as obviously, my daughter's 17, my son is 9, so there are certain things that she can do that he can't, right? She has a cell phone, he does not. So, little things like that obviously will change as he gets older. He'll be introduced to more things as well. But, like, gender roles, like, I'm very, I don't like the gender roles. And I think that's a big one in the Hispanic culture and probably all cultures, I'm sure. It's like, men, women are supposed to do all the cleaning, all the cooking, and the men don't do anything. So I'm big on that one.
Yeah, I feel like for me though, like because my brothers were the oldest, they learned to do everything. My mom made them do everything, like clean, cook, everything from top to bottom. She made them do everything because she's like, the day you leave and like you don't have a lady, like you better learn how to do everything. And yeah, when I was one of the younger ones, so when I grew up, they had me doing stuff, but it was stuff they didn't want to do. They knew how to do, like plancha la ropa or make them food or you know. But I see it as like helping me practice my skills. But other than that, like my mom did help, like you know, there was gender roles where like yo no podía salir and they could, or there was just like more freedom for them, and I was the only girl amongst all the boys. But at the same time, like if I wanted to go somewhere, she could go with me. Like it wasn't like I couldn't go, I just couldn't go alone.
Yeah, great point. That reminded me. My mom wasn't big on gender roles when it came to cleaning. All my brothers are very self-sufficient. They all do their laundry, they all cook, they all clean. Like if I've seen them even like, "Hey babe, you want some food?" Y ellos le llevan the food to their girlfriends or whatever. So my siblings don't have gender roles in terms of that, but my mom was the same. Like I was not allowed to go out. My brothers could stay out way later than me. You know, my brothers could just not come home. Like that would never happen. I would get beat, you know, so it's like I don't do that with my, like I said, my daughter's a lot older, so obviously, you know, she can has a different curfew than my son. But when my son is 17, it will be the same way. Like if she has to be home by 9:30, like so do you. So it's just like that's what I mean is like the rules are going to be the same regardless of if they're a boy or a girl.
Yeah, I do the same thing with the kids. I'm like, you guys all have to do chores. You guys all have to do this. You guys all need to learn to be self-sufficient. There's no like, she does and he doesn't, or things like that. Like, everything's the same. But it's just like, also, like, when I get like so anxious about them going to daycare or whatever, like, it doesn't matter if it's a girl or a boy. But after I had a girl, like, everything tripled on me because I was like, oh my God, she's gonna be like more at risk. But I think it had to do with like the way I was brought up and the way that everybody was so overprotective over me. But now I'm like all over, like, I'm helicopter mom over three, and it's like, oh, I'm so tired.
Same. I'm very, yeah, same. The other thing is I never say like los hombres no lloran. I never say that. And if my husband says that, I get so mad at him and I have to tell him like very quickly, like we don't say that. Because that's a big one too, is I feel like we hear that so often, like boys don't cry and boys don't cry, and I absolutely hate that. Like that irks me.
My uncles tell my kids that sometimes, and I'm like, nope. I'm like, and then I'm like, okay, you've cried enough, but now it's time to change gears. Like, how do we fix the problem? That's all I say. But I'm not like boys don't cry or girls don't cry. Or sometimes I'm like, dude, ya están grandes. Like, it's just time to shift the mind shift. Like, how do we fix the problem? But they approach it differently. They're just like, guys don't cry, or ya está viejito, you know?
No. Yeah, I do not do that. And the other thing is, I remember when my kids were younger, they would say a lot like, "Oh, don't hold them for too long, porque los vas a embracilar." And I don't care. Like I held my children for as long as I wanted to, or as long as they wanted to. I don't think it made them embracilados. Like kids don't cry because they're not that. You know what I'm saying? Like there isn't something in their head like, "Oh, I'm gonna cry because I want my." You know, like my mom told me all the time. Like no, they're crying because they need you, and maybe they need that physical touch and that love from their parent. Like that's not. There's nothing wrong with that.
I got caught up with one. I don't remember which kid it was, but yeah, we held him too much, and then we couldn't put him down for anything. And I was like, because he would just creep to the top of his lungs, and it sounds like somebody's killing you. And I'm like, no, I promise she's not dying. Oh, I think it was a lady. I was like, she's not dying. She's fine. Like, she's gonna make it. I just need to change her diaper. That's it. And then she was
Yeah,
fine.
I mean, yeah, sometimes if they have to cry and you can't get to them right away, like that's fine, but I just don't like that mentality of like, oh, don't hold them for too long because, you know, I don't like, I feel like we do hear that a lot in the Hispanic culture as well. And then the other thing is, I feel like when I was growing up, we were like taught that you have to say hi to everyone in the room. You have to go give them a hug. You have to go give them a kiss. And I don't do that with my kids. Of course, I teach them that they have to be kind and they have to be respectful. And, you know, they could say hi to everyone in the room, like, oh, hi, everyone, and then walk away. But I don't make them go hug or kiss everyone if they don't. If they choose to and they want to, that's fine. But if they don't want to, like, I don't tell them, like, oh, ve dales un beso, like, ve dales un abrazo, or ve dales la mano. Like, I never do that. I'm just like, say hi to everyone as you feel comfortable with, and, you know, and obviously to be kind and respectful.
I do. I tell them to acknowledge everyone, because if they don't, they just go through like nothing. And I'm like, dude, but it's in burritos. Like, you guys have to go say hi to, at least give them a handshake and like say, because I feel like we lose that value too, like with the older people. And then we go to Mexico and they're like, esos niños son malcriados, no saludan. And I'm like, it sucks when like I want them to have that boundary or like feel, but if they don't want to, like, they don't have to say hi to you. There's no like, you have to. But I just like acknowledge everybody in the room and say hi. So you know who people, because a lot of the times too, like when we go out and they don't realize who people are and they're like, wait, who is that? And I'm like, remember they were at the, no, I don't remember. I'm like, okay, so if you say hi to everybody, you're gonna know who comes around, right? And then also like with our tight knit of people that come all the time and we see every weekend, like they always hug and kiss, but that's because they gained that respect, you know?
My kids hug and kiss most like the people that we see all the time, because it's usually just like my siblings or my husband's siblings or my mom and my dad. Like, it's very people that we're very close to. But if it's like some random stranger that they've never seen before, I'm not going to be like, go say hi. You know, like, I tell them
Oh,
to
I
acknowledge.
get it. I get it. It's like having the balance is hard. But then I'm telling you, like, we go to Mexico and they're like, esos niños no saludan. And I'm like, sí saludan, pero no lo conocen. So, like, come here. Let me introduce you. And there you go. But.
And we'll talk more about later about like judgment and stuff, like how to get over that. But yeah, like you do hear that all the time, but I'm just like, I don't care. And I tell them all the time, like, be rude, stay alive. Like, you know, if somebody gives you the ick and you don't want to say hi to them,
That.
be rude. I don't care. Like, be rude, stay alive. Like, that's all I care about. Because it's like I wanted to teach them to like really honor and respect their intuition and their instinct. And if something's telling them that that person is not for them, then stay away from that person. I don't care if they think you're rude. But yeah, so I just think like, you know, that's a big one too. So you're totally right that they will say that you're rude, but I'm at the point like where I don't care. Like, if people think my kids are rude, that's fine.
I know, I think like I have that aspect with like some people that I'm just like I've tried like a million times because the people pleaser in me, I'm like, they're gonna change, they're gonna change, give them the benefit of the doubt, let's say hi, let's be nice, let's be on like nice terms, because then I'm like, then it's gonna come after me in another way. But yeah, I'm bad.
And then the other thing is, so like the judgment that we were talking about is like one of the judgments that I've noticed a lot of the times as like moms is that we're supposed to work like we don't have kids, but then also take care of our kids as if we don't work. So it's just like if you're a stay-at-home mom, sometimes they'll criticize you like, "Ay, qué huevona," like she has no dreams, she has no goals for herself, she doesn't want to do anything with her life. But then if you are a working mom, it's like, "Oh, you're never around. Estás descuidando tus hijos, estás descuidando tu esposo." So it's like we can't win. There's, you know,
Always.
yeah, it's like always we're
I
women are
always say, like, if
enemies.
you don't feed me, I don't care what you say, but like it took me a long time to get there, as I'm saying, like I'm very, very bad with like boundaries. And so like it's like I need to rewire my brain and get as far as you are because I'm not there yet.
The other thing is, I feel like we're supposed to wear exhaustion as if it's a badge of honor, right? Like, I feel like there's so much expected of us, like I said. So, you know, it's like if you're not tired at the end of the day, it's almost like you're not doing enough. But something that I've noticed recently is like I'm kind of concerned about how exhausted I feel at the end of the day. You know, like I don't think it's normal to be this exhausted at the end of the day. And I was having this conversation with my friend, and she suggested that I go see like an acupuncture. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly. And then also do like blood work to see if maybe there's like certain vitamins that I'm deficient in that would help me to feel more energized. And also just like to try acupuncture because it's like really helped her with feeling, because she said she used to feel tired all the time too. So I'm going to try that because I do feel like I'm exhausted, but I don't want to teach my kids that that's how life should be. You know, like I go back to that video that you shared and that I watched like a million times because it was true. It's like just because we can do it all doesn't mean we have to do it all. You know, and just because we saw our mom struggle and do everything on their own, like doesn't mean that we have to do the same thing. Like there it wasn't a rule to follow, you know?
I agree. Yeah. I think the video I just sent you yesterday about the realtor who's going back to work, and like, there's no way, like, she's literally at a loss at the end of the day because she's paying more in healthcare than what she's making. And she's like, I don't feel like I'm benefiting at all. And then my husband's starting a new business and I could be helping him. And I'm like, just make sure that you have enough profit to be able to sustain both of your salaries. But at the end of the day, if that's what's going to be more profitable and you're going to help and boost your business at the end of the day, and later that's going to pay all your bills, then I'd rather do that than be going at a loss. But At the same time, you need that village because you're still going to need the help. You're still going to need the support to be able to help your husband. So it's just a lot of different moving pieces, but it gets hard. Like, I literally let, like, when my second was born, I was working 12-hour shifts. I was working 60-hour weeks. I was doing, like, all the CPA ideal life scenarios that we were talking about. Like, this is why we went to college and this is what we are doing. We want to be in the CPA world, right? But damn, like, as a woman, you still have all the roles and all the, like, expectations to do in your household. Like, like my husband could cook and do everything, but I felt like I wasn't seeing my kids. And I'm like, for me as a mom and as connected as I am with my kids, that was a loss for me. Like, I had people doing the things, but then I wasn't raising my kid. Like, it wasn't anybody telling me you're not raising your kids. It was me to myself. Like, somebody else is raising my kids. At the end of the day, I'm like, are they even gonna respect me? Are they gonna know who I am? Like, of course they are, right? But like, for me, it just didn't sit right to work all day, come home. My kid was a baby, like 3 months old, and like I saw him, what, like 2, 3 hours at night, he was sleeping. Like, I didn't have time with him. So it was just bad.
Yeah, you know, and I didn't have a village or anyone to really rely on, so it was just all on me, and so that's why I had to decide if I wanted to continue working outside of my home or just, you know, find something that I could do from home. My husband has his own business, so obviously it worked out great, but it is really hard as a working mom for sure. And then something that I read that kind of resonated with me is that when people judge you, it's because they are truly judging themselves. They see something in you that they are not comfortable with expressing themselves. So, like, I don't know, like, if somebody saw a girl and she walked down the street and she was wearing a short skirt or something, and they're like, oh my God, how could she wear that? It's mostly because they would never feel comfortable wearing that, right? So they think that it's bad to wear that because they wouldn't do it themselves. So that's why I'm like, it says more about them than it says about you. And I try to remind myself of that when I am feeling judged, is that if they have a problem with it, that's on them, that's not on me.
Your gun problem.
Yeah, and then also I think it just goes back to like the fear of like being seen, right? Or like feeling like you don't want to be seen, like you don't want to feel judged. It all comes back to that people pleasing person in us, right? But I feel like as long as we can learn that we don't need to have validation from others, and it's impossible to control how everyone else around you feels, you cannot make everyone like you. And at the end of the day, that's okay. Like the people who really matter do love me and do care about me. And I know that I'm a good person. I know that I have good intentions. I do things from a good place in my heart. I don't do things out of malice. So as long as we try to get that validation ourselves instead of looking for it for others, like from others, I think that the judgment part of it won't bother us as much.
I agree. It's hard. I feel like a lot of the times, like, I internalized it and, like, it's like, oh, why are you taking this long on this project? I'm like, because you didn't give me the information. Or, like, I always felt like I always had to over explain. And it's like, why do I have to explain to somebody who wasn't working here, who doesn't? Like, it's like making me, like, she was like, oh, I understand that that's how you learn, but that's not how you do it. And I'm like, what? Like, it was never a problem till you got here. Like, I don't understand. And it's hard because I'm like, I'm getting the work done. Now you're making me relearn how to do it. So then I'm sitting here wasting all this time trying to redo it when the work was already done. Like, you asked me to get you a number and I got you the number, but the way I got there has nothing to do with how you want me to learn it. Like, I got you the information. Like, you're wasting time here and you're making me take 3 hours longer than just taking my answer. Like, why? But people, dude, like, that's where I'm just like, the people, I tried and then I tried to learn her way and then I ended up like wasting more time and it's like, why are we having to do this? Like, just take my answer, you asked for it, and that's it. Like, it doesn't have to be your way. So the thing, like, sometimes it would be like, oh, well, I'm gonna redo it. I'm like, why would you redo it? You have the answer.
Yeah, I'm a recovering people person myself, so I get it. I'm a people pleaser myself, and it's something that I work on every day to not be such a people pleaser. So all you people pleasers out there, we definitely see you. So to kind of end, this was a heavy topic, so to kind of end on like a happy note, we kind of wanted to share maybe things that we're excited about, things that are coming up for us. For me, I'm really excited about this event that we're going to called Foodie Land. I'm a big foodie. I love food. And it's just like a big event in I think the local one to us is like San Francisco. That's where they're doing it. It's this huge event with like food and just all kinds of different foods that you don't normally see anywhere else. So they kind of and it's yeah, you have to pay to get in, but then and you also have to pay for the food. So I don't know, it's weird. But you get to like try different foods from like all different places in the world, and it's just like really, really cool. It's really, really fun. And then also I'm gonna be going to Alcatraz at night, which I'm
Ooh.
really excited about. My daughter had we've been wanting to do that for years, and we've never been on an Alcatraz tour. If anyone doesn't know what Alcatraz is, it's something, it's like a prison, an older prison in San Francisco. It's now closed. It's not an actual prison anymore, but people go on tours. They say it's haunted. So we're excited. We're gonna do like a night tour there. I'm really, really excited about that. And then also I'm just excited for the summer. I'm excited to not have to worry about bedtimes anymore. I want to have some late nights and some moving nights. And then obviously both of us are probably gonna be going to Mexico, so that's gonna be fun to see family and relax.
Yeah. Did you go to Alcatraz? You said you'd never been there.
I've never been there. That's why I'm so excited.
Oh, okay. We went to Alcatraz, I think it was last year. No, I think it was in January. We went in January with my siblings and my parents, and it was cool. And we almost took my grandma, but thank God we didn't, because there's like this steep area where it's
Oh.
like super like hard to get up. But they have like a little tram if you need it. But yeah, it was a lot to like climb up the stairs too. So it's pretty interesting and it's fun, but we did want to do like a night tour a long time ago, but we never got to it. And I'm like, yeah, with my anxiety, it probably wouldn't be great. Like, I don't know if that's a good thing, a bad thing, because like I used to love going to like roller coasters too, and like the thrill. And now I get nervous, but I do it for my kids. Like, I suck it up for my kids.
Yeah, I can't do roller coasters, but my grandmother would always say to fear the living, not the dead. Like she would always tell us, the living can hurt you, the dead cannot. So I'm not really like, I don't know. Things like that kind of intrigue me, fascinate me. They don't really scare me so much.
Okay, I see. Yeah. I'm still like, I don't know, subconsciously. I used to be fine, but now I'm just like, no, I overthink everything. But yes, I'm excited for the summer and late nights. We're watching a movie the other night, and I'm like, dude, you have school tomorrow. We gotta go to bed. They're like, can we just stay? I'm like, no, we're almost there. One more month, and you'll be fine. So I'm excited, and I can't wait for that either. I've never done Foodieland. That sounds very exciting, so I'm excited for you.
Yeah, I'll keep you guys updated. It's my second year doing it. I love it. It's so much fun. You should check it out. They have an Instagram page. I'm pretty sure it's Foodie Land. I'm pretty sure that's what it's called,
Okay, I think we were gonna do it a couple years ago, but we didn't end up doing it. I know you did the meat, was it meat
The
eater?
Meat Carnival.
Oh, there
Yeah.
you go. The meat
Carnival.
carnival. Is it much
Yeah.
like that where you get full and then
No,
like,
it's not like that because the meat carnival was like all you can eat and all you can drink. Everything was included. So you just like walked around and just
yeah.
ate. Where it's like Foodie Land, you pay, I think it's like $7 to get in. It's not that expensive to get in. But then once you're in, you also have to buy your food. So you
Okay.
don't like, there's no way, unless you want to spend thousands of dollars to try everything there,
Everything.
you know?
Okay.
So it's like you
Got
kind of
it.
have to pick and choose like what you want to eat. But
Okay.
then, I don't know, just like really interesting food combinations that you wouldn't normally see. There's food from like all different parts of the world. And yeah, it's just a lot of fun. There's a lot of music. There's also like booths. It's a lot of fun. Is there anything else that you're looking forward to?
Parties coming up, graduations, and yeah, I'm just like having to find a dress with like all this stuff, and then I also had to get like centerpieces for my aunt's 30th wedding anniversary, so like I'm a mother now for that. There's just a lot of exciting things coming up, but yeah, it's mostly family related, nothing super exciting, but maybe Mexico in the summer, which I am always thrilled about, but we'll see.
Okay, well then that's it for today. We hope that you guys liked this episode. We hope that there's something that you were able to relate on this episode with us, even if you are from a different culture that's not the Latino culture. I'm sure that there are things that we talked about today that you can relate to, you know, in regards to how you were brought up or maybe the relationship that you had with your mom or your dad or gender roles, things like that. So we do hope that you all felt seen and heard. And as always, we hope that you understand that this is a safe place for you, and we just are so happy that you're here and that you spent this time with us. So thank you guys so much for being here.
Yes. Thank you guys for tuning in, and I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.